Okay, today's daf in the Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. And the last thing that we learned, we were talking about perhaps finding a margin of error in even a physical event, such as the case where one guy says before the Nates and one guy says it was during the Nates. And you might have thought you could excuse that by saying that, I mean, obviously the Nates could be reflecting on somebody and he's thinking it's already during the Nates. Well, it wasn't really. Even that we don't do. So the only thing that we had any kind of margin of error was the idea of having mistakes in timing, but not mistakes in actual physical events that are astronomically definitive. Omer of Nachman, today we're up to the second line. On Daf Yud Gimel, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, Halacha Reb Yehuda. We paskin like Reb Yehuda that during the entire fifth hour, you are not allowed to eat, but you are allowed to be nehene. So that we go against Rabbi Meir. Omer Le Rova, Rav Nachman, why are you saying that? Why wouldn't you want to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, especially considering that the beginning of the next perek opens up with a Mishnah that is saying very clearly, I think, that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, remember that the next Mishnah, what we're talking about over here in this parak, has to do with our hanhaga legabe the Bir Chametz. Because of that, it's not important for us to get into the details of when it is that you're usher in one way or usher in the other way. All that's important for us is the major machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, that we bring in all the other shitas we're going to see later. There are other shitas. But the next parak is talking about the dinim of the chametz per se. And that's where Rabbi was koveya the various shitas about the dinim of the chametz. That's why it's a little bit strange. It appears on the surface. Like, why do we wait until parak kol sha'ah, which is the next parak, to really flesh out all of the dinim of the Mishnah? But that's clear. It's not our topic now. Our topic is biur, not the din of the chametz per se, you see. So it's all very, very clearly and well-defined. In any event, over there, what it does say at the beginning of the next parak, the Mishnah reads, Kol sha'ah shemutar le'echol ma'achil, as long as you can eat yourself, I mean, that's what it's saying, as long as you yourself can eat, you can also feed your animal. I mean, that's crazy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not true. The whole point is you have to stop eating yourself, and then you've got an additional hour in which you could be nene, and part of that hana is obviously feeding your animal. So then that means that that is not like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Says the Gemara, no. You're not holding in that Mishnah. You don't remember that Mishnah. Actually, you're reading it wrong, okay? Because it's not Rabbi Meir. Hahi lav stamahu. Read it carefully. Kol sha'ah she'mutar le'echol ma'achil. Does that make sense? What it should say is kol sha'ah she'ochel ma'achil. As long as you eat, you feed. What do you mean mutter? Mutter is introducing an issue that may not be true of you. I can't eat. Somebody can eat. Now, what would that be? Oh, there is such a shita. And that shita is, in fact, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, look, it depends. If you're a Kohen and there's truma, so then in order not to be mafsi truma, it's mutter for Kohen to eat. There you go. So kol zman shemutar for someone, namely a Kohen, would be oichel truma. You, the Yisrael, is allowed to be machal beema. That explains that extra word. Again, information density above alles. So therefore, the Mishnah, if anything, is not going like Rabbi Meir. Somebody tell me it's Rabbi Meir. Okay, fine. You want to say it's going like Rabbi Gamliel, so then make it like Rabbi Gamliel and say the halacha is Rabbi Gamliel, because, I mean, look, Rabbi Gamliel is a machriya, isn't he? Remember that a machriya, we're going to see later on, we won't get into it now, but we're going to see later on, there's different approaches to what the concept of machriya is. Rashi understands it very simply. Look, you've got one sheet that says you cannot eat during the fifth hour, and you've got another sheet that says you can't eat during the fifth hour. Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, right? Okay, comes along Rabbi Gamliel and says, it depends. You can eat truma if you're a Kohen during the fifth hour, but you can't eat chulin. Okay, so that's basically a compromise, so to speak, in which I add the weight of my opinion to both sides, depending on what we're talking about. To Yisrael, I'm adding my weight to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. By a Kohen, I'm adding my weight to Rabbi Meir's opinion, which equals two on each side every time. And therefore, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, right? Because he's always the rabbi. It's one way of understanding. And therefore, you should paskin over here like Rabbi Gamliel. No. says the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel is not a machriya. Rabbi Gamliel is actually lav machriyo tam de nafshe ka'amar. He is introducing a completely new element. If Rabbi Meir had said, I don't care whether it's chulin or truma, you can eat the fifth. And Rabbi Yehuda said, I don't care whether it's chulin or truma, you cannot eat in the fifth. And then Rabbi Gamliel would have come along and says, well, it depends. Truma this, chulin that. That's a machriya. But to introduce a new element where neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda acknowledged that there was an issue of any kind of difference to take into consideration the chulin or truma, that's your own opinion. What does that have to do with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, you see? So therefore, that's not considered to be a machriya. Machriyas with new issues are against everybody. That's the point. The fact that it happens to work out, that Lamaisi is saying, like, doesn't matter. Okay. So Rabbi Leo is tam de nafshe ka'amar. Yibai seima. Or we could say, look, we stop making such a fuss over here. Rav, that Rabbi Nachman was quoting, actually was going according to the following Tana. The Tanya, 14 shechaluyot b'Shabbat, mevarin et hakol milifnei ha-Shabbat. So if you've got the 14th, which is the day of the Hakrovas HaPesach, and it falls out on a Shabbos, so then, which is going to happen this year, so then the question is, so you can't burn your chametz on the 14th. So what are you supposed to do? Well, you got to get rid of everything before Shabbos. And even if it means that you're going to have to burn truma, and I don't care whether that truma is tamei, I don't care if it's tolui, I don't care if it's tahar. Remember, normally you're not allowed to burn truma. And as Tosis points out, so you would think over here, so what gives me the right to burn truma? I mean, after all, there's a mitzvah of mishmeret truma time. I'm supposed to keep my eye on truma to protect it. Same way I can't be metamed, I can't burn it. And don't try to tell me because I don't have any choice, because anyway the truma is going to be nifsat, I could be mevatel the truma. I could be mevatel all my chometz. And since mini raisa bitul bi'alma is sufficient, why do I need to do more than that? Why go out to destroy it? Okay, but basically what it's saying is that once this truma is already not going to be suitable achila, so at that point there is no din of the mishmeret, and I'm going to be allowed and treat it, therefore, like anything else. I don't care whether it's toloi, meaning that there's some kind of suffix about whether it's tamei or tar, or whether it's vadai tamei. I don't care what the case is, or vadai tar, I don't care. Mishayrim and atarot, I mean, obviously, you want to leave over enough for your meals on Shabbos. So, therefore, you leave over mazon shtei su'udot. So, here we get into a problem with Moshe Forman, because Moshe Tain is Shabbos is supposed to have six su'udas during the day. So why does the Gemara say only two suddas, right? So Rashi actually says that the problem is that you can't have a suda shlishit on Shabbos because you're not allowed to eat on Pesach in the afternoon. Now, that is crazy. Why does Rashi say that that's the point? Rashi could simply have said, well, obviously you can't save your chometz for suda shlishit because it's going to be usher to eat at Minyaraisa. Why does he say that, well, you can't have a suda shlishit, right? So the whole point of Rashi is lafuke from Moshe Forman. That's the point. He could have just said, because chometz is aser b'achila. But then Moshe would have said, okay, so I'll eat something else. But I mean, certainly I'm not going to be mevater on my six sudas on Shabbos. Therefore comes along Rashi to say, no, you're not supposed to eat after chatzos because you won't eat your matzah te'avon, for which Moshe has the obvious comeback. The more I eat, the hungrier I get. Okay. So, and by the way, that is a sfora later on. I'm not just kidding around. So we'll talk about it later. Okay. So therefore, continuing on over here, if we leave over sufficient for two su'udas, in order to be able to eat those two su'udas through, ad arba'a sha'ot b'yom. So in other words, it says over here, I can only eat it, and of course that's like Rabbi Yehuda, I can only eat until the end of the fourth hour. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar tota. So there we go. He was quoting Rabbi Yoshua, and Rav, in fact, was going like that. Omrulo, so they said to him, but why would you want to burn tahar truma? I don't understand. I mean, maybe people can still eat this truma. So, Shemayim Tzu'ulayim Ochlin, I mean, what, right now there's no Kohen over here, right? But, I mean, don't wreck it now. What if some guests or Kohanim are going to come on Shabbos? They'll knock on the door and I'll kick myself. Oh my God, I burned all of the truma that I could have given to you. And oh, what a disaster. So you should keep it. And then on Shabbos Gufa, pour it down the toilet or feed it to an animal of a kind, whatever, right? Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Elazar said to them, look, if you haven't found any guests for Shabbos by now, you're not going to find them. So Kfar Bikshuv Alom. Lomatsu, what's the point of holding on to Isser? Omrulo, what do you mean you already looked? What, because there's nobody in town? How do you know that there's not people that are within the Tchum that are going to come on Shabbos, knock on your door, and ask if you have a meal for them? Omar Lahem. So then if you're worried about that, so then maybe somebody will come into town. Guess who might come into town, baby, at any moment? Elio Anavi. And if Elio Anavi comes into town, he may tell you, what do you mean, Tluyos? These aren't Tluyos. They're perfectly kosher. They never became Tomei. How do you know? I'm Elio Anavi. I know. So therefore, even if they're Tluyot, you also shouldn't burn them, right? Nah, Amrullah, they told him, we thank heavens we know we don't have to worry about Elio Anavi. That's all we need is for Elio Anavi to come on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. What a disaster. Everybody's in the middle of making their cholent. What are they going to do now? Run out in the middle. They're going to end up worrying about, oh, we got to come greet Elio Anavi. And what happens to the cholent? So because of that, we have a haftacha that Elio Anavi's not going to come. Chas for cholent. So he's not going to come on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, on Erev Yontif, you don't have to worry. So she'en Elio ba lo barvei Shabbatot lo barvei Yovim Tovim. So it ain't going to happen. Because it's too much trouble to go greet Elio Anavi in the middle of everything you got to do on Shabbos, and it will cause a catastrophe. Anyway, so here's the point that's important, because it says lo zazur misham hashikavu alach Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda Yishbaratos Shomer Rabbi Yeshua. So they said they were so impressed. Yes, pow, that's the halacha. So Rav was being mistamech on that psak, in which the rabbin were koveya that the halacha is indeed until the end of the fourth hour, which is exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, I'm assuming that when it says they were koveya the halacha, it means in its entirety, even including up until what time, right? Mamar of Papa Mishmeda Rav, why? I mean, that isn't the focus of the machlokas over here. That's a side point. The focus of the machlokas over here is whether you're supposed to get rid of truma before Shabbos or whether you're hoping for the best and guests are going to come on Shabbos, right? That's what they were talking about. As far as the other question, they didn't say, we paskin like Halacha Kareb Elazar ben Yishib ben Reb Yehuda Ish Bar Tusa for everything in the world. I mean, for what we're talking about over here. So he had no right to be semich on that. V'af Revi Savalot Reb Nachman. The truth is that Revi agrees, though, with what Reb Nachman and Rav said. And because we know that Rav Baravada said there was once a Maisa of a guy that gave this diskia, was full of chametz, and he gives it to Yochanan Chakukah, and then some mice got into it, and the chametz is leaking out of this thing, and oh my God, Yochanan Chakukah, what am I going to do with this stuff? It's not going to be worth anything by the time the mice finish it. I mean, maybe if I sell it right now, I could still get myself a dollar or two to be able to give the guy. I mean, I have a chiyuv to protect him, and I'm a shomer on it. It's Hashavas Aveda. I mean, so certainly I should sell it, right? So he comes to Rebbe and said, look, I didn't have permission to sell it, but it's Erev Pesach, and the mice are into it. Can I sell it? So the first hour of the 14th, Rebbe said to him, wait, because what if the guy who gave it to you, I mean, he knows he left it by you. What if he comes and he's being semich on eating this? He wants to eat it himself, which would give him full value. If you're going to sell it, you're going to have to sell it awfully cheap. The next hour he comes to me, says, still, you never know. Shlishit amar lo hamtein. Revi'it amar lo hamtein. But in the fifth hour he said, okay, you got to go out and sell it because now there's nothing to do. So in other words, what does this mean? You got to go out and sell it to Goyim, because now he's not going to be able to eat it. If he's not allowed to be able to eat it, how could you sell it to Goyim? Because you were paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. You see that Rebbe is saying that even though you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to be nene from it, right? Rav Yosef, I don't know, not necessarily. I mean, maybe it means run out and sell it while you can still get a good price. Sell it to Jews. You know what the Goyim are going to do? The Jews are selling their chametz. I hear that's for one mil on a dollar, you know? So don't sell it now. And maybe he was talking about selling it the hour before, possibly. Amalei Abaye, no, that doesn't make sense. If it's saying he's going to sell it for it, why would he sell it? I mean, for heaven's sakes, eat it. Well, you got to run out to the market, find somebody to buy it because that person's going to eat it. You can eat it yourself and then you pay him the value. And that way it's good for everybody. You save the tircha, you give him the real value instead of making him lose money. I don't understand. No, says Rabbi Yossi, because that looks awfully suspicious. Why are you eating that guy's stuff? I mean, how do we know? Even if you give him money, how do we know that you're giving him money? Maybe you're giving him even less than the guy would have given him, you know? The Tanya Gaba Eid Tzedakah. So the Gaboyim of Tzedakah, the Gaboyim of the Rebbe, the She'en Lehem, She'en Lehem Aniyim L'chalek, so they don't have any poor to give the money out to. So then what they should do is they should make sure that the coins that they have, that are these are the cheaper coins, the prutas that are copper, and that copper gets eaten away, and it gets ruined. So what they have to do, they have to exchange it for silver. So, you know, they buy silver dollars, and that way the money stays in the tzedakah fund, and the Rebbe is able to give out these magic silver dollars to people who come by, you know, that they pay him $1,000 per silver. It's great business. So anyway, they should do that by going to the bank, but not do it on your own. Ein portim la'atzma. Why not? Because it looks bad. Same thing is true about the gabaim who give out the tamchoy, which is the food that is given to aniyim. She'ein lem aniyim l'chalek. They should sell the food, but don't buy it yourself. Why? Mishum she'nemar v'yitim nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. So you can't tell him he should eat it himself, but so therefore I'm right. Maybe it means he should sell it to Jews. And it's not talking about goyim. Armelei Rav Adar Bar Masi Rav Yosi, but Rebbe, before you got sick, you told us beferish that the story was over here that Rebbe told him, Tzei umochran lenochrim k'Rebbe Yehuda. That's how you defined it for us. You don't remember. Ah, okay. Armelei Rav Yosef. So once we're on this story over here, come on, also hashmaitz to the Rebbe. So who is he going like? That it was mutter to sell something that you don't have a right to sell. And nonetheless, Rebbe gives him permission to sell. I mean, where's the book of that? That's going like Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, in which the Mishnah of Metzia says like this, that if somebody gives food for a friend to watch for him, now he's a shomer. So then, afilu hein avudim, even if they are becoming wrecked, so they're being eaten by mice or they're starting to rot, don't touch it. It's not your business. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, American, of course you should. But just make sure that you do it in the presence of Beis Din, because that way we're going to make sure that you don't cheat him in any way. So that's all. But you certainly, it's Hashavas Aveda. You're mechuyev to. Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says, but this is not similar to that case. It's not going like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He says to Rabbi Yosef, because Lav Yitmar Alom Rabba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shana. When did we say this? That the idea of don't touch them. That's only where they're getting lost, b'chtei chesronam. The Gemara over there gives different shiurim of what is considered to be a normal spoilage, in which the person who gave them to you took into consideration that this will be the percentage of spoilage per week, let's say, right? So there, you have a right to sell them, because the guy already took it into consideration. So that's where they said, don't touch it. Avo b'yoter b'chtei chesronam. If something happens in which they're losing more value than that, so then you, of course, everybody agrees that Mochran Bebeit Din. Everyone allows you to sell it in Beis Din. Mechayev you to sell it in Beis Din. For sure over here, for God's sake, it's going to be worthless in another hour, kaput completely, because it's chametz. So therefore, of course you could sell it. What do you have to bring me from Rav Shimon? It has nothing to do with the machlokas there. Okay, next thing that we had in the Mishnah was the simen. And that was Rabbi Yehuda said, listen, you should know that there were two chalot that they put up there on the top of the Yitzteba. Now, there was a Tana who said in front of Rabbi Yehuda, of Rav Yehuda, and he said it over wrong. And he said that they put it al gav ha-Yitzteba. Instead of saying al gag ha-Yitzteba, he instead said gav ha-Yitzteba. And that would mean that it was put on the seat where people would sit, not on the top, on the roof. Omar Lezer, if you'd have said to him, what's the matter with you? That makes sense to you? Isn't the whole point over here that it's supposed to be visible to everybody all through the city, and they're looking up at the Harabayit, and they're taking a look at this? I mean, if you're going to put them on the Gaga Itzteba, what's the use? Tanei al Gaga Itzteba, obviously, where they need to be seen. Omrev, and this is because, as you know, Omrev, Omrev, you know, you should know that the Harabayit was Stau Kaful Haya. So there was like a stadium seating around that had a seat, had a gog on top of it. And that was like the Roman Stau. And they would be on different levels. And that would mean that the roof was high that people could see it. Tanya Nami Hachi, Har Habayit Stau Kaful Haya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it was like an istavnit. They used to call it istavnit. The istavnit is the hangout area that they would have in front of the shops in those days, where you would put down, all of your wares, or where people could sit next to it, and so on. That would get people to hang out around the store and to see all of your stuff. So that's what this was, because you could sit on it, and it was stau lifnim mistau. It was one row inside of another row. And again, I don't know, is Alon here today? Yes, Alon is here. And therefore, he will remember that this is the way that BK saw the fight. It was a series of stepped benches, was defined as stau kaful. Don't forget. Okay, I think the Gabi is also a Boki in this. It's not the Gagi, by the way. It's the Gavi. Don't forget. It's Al-Gav. Al-Gag. But here it's Al-Gav. Anyway, they were psulot. Now, this is crazy. What do you mean they were psulot? What? You're sure that you're going to have psulot, right? Well, I mean, like, why in the world would you have lachmei toda that are psulot? What's going on? How can you make a simon of something that's not even supposed to be there? Omer Rabbi Chanina, yes, it was definitely taken for granted that there would be chalot psulot. Why? Because consider what happens on the 13th day of Nisan, okay? You've got millions of people that are coming into Yerushalayim. Everybody is hanging out. They've been bringing in the money that they've had all year round, that they were koveya, that this is going to be used for bringing their nedarim and nedavos, right? So, okay, so you say, fine, all right, but they've got the whole Chol HaMoed. No, they don't. Not if they had made up that they were going to be bringing a Korban Torah, because a Korban Torah, out of the 40 lechem, 10 of those lechem is chometz. So therefore, come tomorrow, they cannot bring a Korban Torah. So it means the last minute rush, right? So this is Black Friday, if we're talking about Rav Yehuda. This is everybody is coming to bring their Korban Torah all on one day. And because of that, we're going to have an enormous amount of Torahs. And therefore, they're not going to be able to bring, to eat all of these things. You can't bring it on Erev Pesach. Ein mevim Torah b'chag ha-matzot, obviously, b'nei chomet shabbat. That's pshita. No, sir. What do you think? I'm an idiot. And what I'm talking about is you can't bring a Korban Torah even on Erev Pesach, on Yom HaRishon, even though you'll say, well, okay, so we'll eat it in the morning. We'll have it for breakfast, right? No, because Kasavar Ein Mevin Kachim LeBeit HaPsul. You are not allowed to make a Korban have less time to be eaten than it normally would have. Even though you say, but I'll eat it fast. And if not, it's going to become Nosar. The Torah gave me the entire day to eat the Korban Torah until the night. And you're saying, no, I can only eat it until the noon? You can't bring it under those circumstances. That's called bringing a Korban lidei noser, lebeit hapsul. You're going to make something happen to it. Therefore, everybody has to bring it the day before. Okay. So, v'kulei amma b'shlosha asar ma'itel mitoch shein merubot, nifsalot belina. Listen, there's so much. They couldn't eat that much. A Korban Torah only has a very brief period of achila, as opposed to a Korban Shlomim, but a Korban Shlomim doesn't have any lechem. So, fine. Mishum Rebbe Yanai Amru, this whole business with Rebbe Yehuda, that they were puzzled. They weren't puzzled. They were kosher. Why would you say that they were puzzled? They didn't have to be puzzled because they were already no, sir. If there were already no, sir, Mechuyif to burn them in the morning. They could have been lechem that was not yet no, sir. But, so I understand, if they're not yet no, sir, why are we eating them? Why are we putting them up on the roof? Ah, because they are the type of carbon that you will never be able to eat. Something happened that makes it unedible. And that's why we're calling them psulot. So am I calling psulot? What happened is that we were unable to shecht the Korban Torah for them. And if you don't shecht it, then there's no Kedushas HaGuf on the Lachmei Torah, because the Lachmei Torah only become Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf after the Shechitas HaZevach. Up until that time, obviously from the moment that you said, this is for my Torah, it becomes Kodesh Kedushas Damim, but it's not going to become Posel Belina or Beyotzi or so until it gets Kedushas HaGuf. The Kedushas HaGuf comes only if you're actually bringing the carbon. So since you didn't bring the carbon, something happened to the carbon. So it got a boom or whatever. So now, what are you going to do? You can't bring it, but it doesn't become nifsal belina. So therefore, because it doesn't have kedushas haguf yet, that's the point. What kind of crazy thing is this? So can't you shecht it now? Whatever, it got lost. I understand, but why can't we bring another one? I'm asking. Bring another carbon, hook it up with this lechem. You've got lechem that you had set aside for carbon teida. Okay, so say, all right, so I'm gonna I lost that teida, I'm bringing this teida in exchange for that one, and here's the lechem that I was gonna use before. No? Says the Gemara, because what we're talking about over here is that you were already meyached it, and you said, zo toda vezo lechma. The original lechem, you had already linked up to that original carbon that is now avud. And as Rabbah pointed out, the Omar Rabbah, avad halechem, in a case like this, if something happens to the lechem, that's fine. You can bring other lechem to take its place. But if the teda, the animal, was avda, you cannot bring other animal to take its place. Why? Because, I mean, obviously, the lechem is coming agav the teda. Therefore, the definitive point is this animal is the animal for which I have this lechem, not that animal. To say that the teida is dependent on the lechem is a little ridiculous. The lechem is coming basically as an additional thing that the Torah said, together with your teida, bring the lechem. Okay, so fine, you don't have any, so bring other teida, other lechem. What's the big deal? Okay, I understand. So you said it's not kadosh b'kedushas haguf, right? Anything that is kadosh but is not kadosh b'kedushas haguf, you can be peida. So why not go ahead and be peida it? So minifrakinu, let's be paid it, then it won't be kodesh anymore, and they will then go out and become edible and chulin. I understand why we put them on the top in order to lose all their value and to be destroyed. Okay, you're right. Actually, they were kodesh because zaguf. Because we did shecht. So then I understand. So then we're back to the same problem. So then you're telling me that what? That they were psulais? No. Not. The dam was spilled out before we were able to do the zrika. That's what happened. And because of that, we've got a problem over here, because the kedushas haguf is never going to be shalem on it, as we'll see in a moment, because we need both of these things. At least this is the way he understands it. We'll talk about it in a moment. You need both shkita and zrika. So what happens is that if you haven't completed it, it's puzzle. So, okay, fine, if it's puzzle, so why can't we burn it? Because when you have something that's puzzle because of an inability to complete its aveda, you have to wait till it's nifsal through ibud tzura. Ibud tzura means when it actually becomes noser. And that means you'd have to leave it overnight and then burn it. See, that would be the problem. So that means that I still have it around, and it's now and only now going to become burnable. Okay, fine. So now I will use it as a siman for when I'm allowed to eat chametz. And who is this going according to that says that the shechita makes it non-pidyonable, but nonetheless it still requires ibur tzura? That's going like Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that shnei dvarim ha-matirin, let's say you have two things that you need to be matir. In this case, you need the shchitas ha-zevach, and you need the zrikas dam, in order to be matir the lechem for the achila. Wherever you have that, one works without the other. Shnei dvarim ha-matirin, ma'alin zeh belo zeh. They make it ma'alin, they don't work completely, but they do make a difference, and they're making it more kodesh, the Tanya. Let's take, for instance, the case of the kivsei atzeret. So remember, the kivsei atzeret are called zivchei shalmei tzibur in our Mishnah of Zvachim that we say every day. So the zivchei shalmei tzibur, those are the only shlomim that have a kedusha of kodshei kodashim. And they are brought in order to be matir the shtei halechem. So it's very similar to the lachmei teida, where the teida is brought in, it's matir the lechem of the teida. This is matir the shtei halechem on Shavuos. So these shtei halechem need the shchita of the kvasim that are brought with them. And ein mekachim et halechem, ela b'shchita. So the only thing that you can do over here is that in the same way that the teida requires shchita in order to give kedusha to the lechem of the teida, and the same thing is true over here. They don't become kodesh, even though we do the whole thing. We do tenufa. We put the lechem together with the keves. We wave them. That doesn't give it the Kedushas HaGuf. The Kedushas HaGuf comes only at the moment of Shechita. So Ketzad, if you did the Shechita Lishman, and then you do the Zrika Lishman, so then it's completely Kedesh, and now we give it to the Kayanim, and so on and so forth, right? But suppose you did the Shechita Shelo Lishma, or you did the Zrika Shelo Lishma, then Lo Kedesh Alechem. How about if you did the Shechita Lishma, but the Zrika was possible because it was Shelo Lishma? So then the Lechem is Kodesh, but Eino Kodesh, meaning with the Shechita that was done Lishma, so now it has Kedush Zaguf, and now it's going to be Nifsa B'Yotze, and now you cannot be paid it any longer. But unless you did the actual Zrika, you're still not able to eat it. So therefore, what you have over here is a situation where it's right in the middle. That's what we're talking about over here. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer. Look, either it is Kaddish Kedush Zaguf or it's not. So La'olam Eino Kaddish Alechem, unless you do Shechita Lishma, Mizrikas Damim Lishma. So that means when Rebbe Yanai, it just explained that we would have Lachme Teda that require Ibor Tzura, but that cannot be Nifta, which means that they have a Kedushas HaGuf, which nonetheless is insufficient for us to be able to do anything with them until they're Nifsal. That's going exactly according to Rebbe. And that was the meaning of Psulais. Not really Psulais, but that is to say Kodesh V'Eino Kodesh, and therefore for all intents and purposes, we got problems. This is what we do with it. Wait until Ibor Tzura, and in between, we use it before burning them. We use them as a simen for chometz. And remember that according to Rebbe Yehuda, there is, in fact, a very important relationship between chometz and these klach beteida that are nifsal. Because the ein bir chometz elisreifa is learned from the dinim of Neuser. So then that means there's a really deep connection that you're supposed to catch when you're using these things as a simen. Says the Gemara, you do not have to say that it's going like Rebbe. You know what? It could go even according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, but not like Rebbe, okay? But Achamayaskinah, we could say something else. We could say the dam for the Zrika already had been mekubal in the coast. So that's called, I did the Kabbalah properly. I did the Shechita properly. All that's missing is the Zrika. And then the dam was Nishbach. So now the problem over here could be very simple. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Sabala Kavua, Diomar Kola, Omed Lizrok, Zaruk Dami. So he holds, since it was already in the coast, that's why it's Kaddish. That's the point. But this does not have to be necessarily the machlokas about the Shnei Matirin. Could be, it's, according to him, it's considered to be Zoruk. Okay. Not everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the simen that was used was Lachmei Teda. Because Tana Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, these Lachmei Teda were Ksherot Hayu, and they were completely kosher. And Kol Zman Shemunachot, everybody is eating. Nitla Achat Mehem. If one of them was taken away, lo achlim v'sorfim, and if nitlu shnehem, so according to him, you could use them. Why is that? Because he would agree that you can eat truma, which is the lachmei toda, you can eat also, like Rebbe Elazar, during the Shor HaMishis. So it's like Rebbe Yehuda, but with a special dispensation granted for kedush and truma. So therefore, what you did was, at the beginning of the Shah HaMishit, you take away the one of them, and that shows you chometz you can no longer eat. And then, as towards the end, when it's getting close to the time of the actual biur, so then you take it off, and everybody knows, oh my gosh, it's 5 minutes before biur. But obviously, meanwhile, a kohen eats it, so that it is a nifsa. He's got 5 minutes to eat the last one. Tanya. Abba Shaul Omer, forget about Lachmei Toda. You guys are all focused on Lachmei Toda. It wasn't Lachmei Toda. There were these two parot, and they were up there on Harazesim. And because as long as we allowed them to continue to do Harisha up there, they were plowing. So everybody knew that it's still time to eat your chametz. The moment that we brought one of them into the barn, they would be tailing. Lo achlim lo sorfim. And when we took both of them, nitlu shnehem, at that point, it chilu kol ha'am sorfim.